Tonight, we're continuing our series on allowing God to do His work. Waiting on the Lord, allowing God to do His work. So would you turn, please, in your Bibles to Psalm 130 tonight. Psalm 130 tonight. And I want to emphasize one of the glorious truths of the Word of God, and it's brought out so many times in the Psalms, that God is merciful to us while we're waiting. God is merciful to us while we're waiting. This thought just hit me this afternoon as I just thinking about things going on in our country and thinking about just living life in the United States of America, that God bestows His mercy on us in ways that we really don't understand and don't know. Do you have any idea what God prevented from happening in your life today? We have no real way of being able to measure that. We might have an instance where we veered off into the other lane and we brought it back and so forth, and God spared us from having an automobile accident. And that's a visual type thing that's in our minds. But there are things that God prevents from taking place in our lives because He's just merciful. The Hebrew word is hesed, loving kindness. Most times in the Psalms, hesed is in the plural, which means loving kindnesses. Just tokens of God's mercy that He supplies. I'll give you one that happened on Monday afternoon. I was going to have to meet two teams because I didn't have coaches. I get a text from a gentleman that I'd spoken to 2 weeks ago. I had brought him through the whole process of screening, got everything was good. A man who claims to be a believer in Christ, we'd had a good conversation, and he told me, he said, I can't coach. I'm going to be gone for several weeks, and I thought I was going to coach, and I was heading up to Michigan, and I'm not going to be able to coach. So I pulled his name out of the hat. I get a text from him. I will be there today at 5:30. I just couldn't sleep thinking I was going to be up in Michigan and I had told you I was going to coach and then backed out at the last minute. At 5:30, he drove up here in the parking lot, came out there and met the team. Now, folks, I was almost as overwhelmed of how God met that need at that time and was working in a man's heart on his way up to Michigan that had told me several weeks ago, hey, I'm going to coach a team for you this year. Gone through the screening, let him know you're good to go, and then he backed out. And then somehow he changes his mind. I know the somehow. I know I'm slow, but I figured that one out. It was God Almighty. God Almighty. And then I met the one team that I had to meet, U14. I got my usual response, deer in the headlights. Well, you don't have a coach you can call? And I said, I have. I've got several that I've called. But I said, I don't have a coach. I'm so sorry that I'm having to meet with you tonight. And I cut up with the kids. I do everything in the world to help them get over that initial shock, because some of them might have a cardiac arrest right there on the moment, that they might have to coach a soccer team, and I understand that. 30 minutes after meet the coach, I get a text from a mother. So I was there at the meeting today, and I didn't offer my services. I talked to my 17-year-old son, and he wants to help coach the team. He's played soccer for many, many years. And I said, well, I really don't want to put a 17-year-old dealing with parents, all right? I said, I'll use him, I'll allow him to work, but I've got to find a head coach. The next morning, I have an email sitting in my box, and it was a lady that was there at the meeting that sat quietly, you know, the deer in the headlights, who's coached soccer before. And she told me, she said in the email, she said, I sat there quietly, I didn't offer my services or anything, but I'm offering them now, I will take that team. So I got an adult with soccer experience. I got a 17-year-old boy whose mother went home, talked to him, and he volunteered to help out. God supplied me too to take that team. I'd already scheduled a practice for tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock that I told them about. I'll be there. I'll run the practice myself until we find a coach. I won't have to do that tomorrow night. Now again, I'm slow, but God's hand was all over what happened. And you know what it is? It's chesed. It's just loving kindness of God. Now, I don't deserve it. But God in His mercy said, I'm going to take care of this one. And He supplied the help. God is so wonderful. He supplies when you don't really think about it. And then He prevents when you're not thinking about it. You might think you just had a wonderful day today and you don't stop to give glory to God for it. And you should, because what you don't know and what you'll find out in glory is all the things He shielded you from today. And all the things He shielded you from yesterday. And the day before yesterday. You may have no problems in a day and you say, man, this was a great day. This is a wonderful day. We're always joking about that. Mr. Dare came in last night. He said, Monday was a perfect day. And I said, what was that like? And we were laughing about that. And then he came in. He said, guess what? Tuesday was not the best day of my life. And I said, well, you had a positive, net positive on Monday. Net negative, that means you're perfect now, right? And we laughed about that and joked about that. But you know, seriously, folks, God watches over His children. And He supplies His mercy even when you're not paying attention. Even when you don't stop and thank Him and say, Lord, just thank You for how You took care of me today. I don't know what You prevented today. Have you ever stopped to thank Him for that? I don't know what You prevented today from happening, but I just want to praise Your name and thank You for Your grace. I want to raise that awareness tonight. We're just a small group of believers here tonight. But if I could get a handful of people that would just stop and just thank the Lord for the things that He prevented from happening. I gave you two things that God did in my personal behalf and on behalf of the Youth Athletic Club. But what were the things that God prevented from happening today? God watched over this campus today. Nobody was seriously hurt. We have scares from time to time. Things happen. But you know what He did? He undertook for us. You know, God just... The Lord knows my heart because I pray this prayer every night and every morning. Lord, would You please put a hedge? Would You put a hedge around this ministry and around my family and around our church family and around every family in our school? Would You just watch over and protect them this day? I don't want to take anything for granted. I always close that way. I don't want to take anything for granted. Because God, in His mercy, is working even when you don't know it or realize it. He's working because that's the kind of God that He is. Let's read about that in Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto Thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let Thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If Thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Think about that for just a moment. If the Lord were to start calling you out individually and started naming all the wrong thoughts today and all the wrong actions and all the sins that you've committed just today, who could stand? Who could stand up and say, I had no sin today? There was no vileness found in my heart today. No deceitfulness in my heart. You'd be the biggest fool if you stood up and said that. Who could stand? You see, that's a rhetorical question. That's a big word that means the answer is no one. No exception. No one would be able to stand up and say, I'm without sin. Who shall stand? But let that thought sink in. If Thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities. O Lord, who shall stand? As a child of God, He looks upon me and He sees His Son, Jesus Christ. Do I hear an amen? He sees the merits of His glorious, wonderful, righteous, pure, holy Son. Because I'm in Jesus Christ. And not only that, I'm also in God the Father, because that's what John tells us in John chapter 10. And no man can pluck me out of His hand. I don't deserve that. There's no good in me, but grace has been manifested. Now, I'm leading up to a point here. What have we been talking about when we're talking about God? Allowing God to do His work in us. He's working behind the scenes all the time in your life. You don't realize and know every second of the day what God's doing in your behalf, preventing things from happening, undertaking for you in areas that you hadn't even thought about, and He's just supplying that need, taking care of that need, watching over and protecting. He's at work all the time. Now, what does He deserve from me? What He deserves is complete and total dependence upon Him. And learn to wait on Him. Because in the waiting, He's being merciful. Even though I want an answer to this particular need, in the meantime, my gracious God is being merciful to me while I'm waiting for the answer. And so I just have to keep trusting Him. Keep trusting Him every day as I wait. Sometimes it's a long time. It can be years of waiting. Do we have the patience to wait on God? Notice, as we finish up here, I'm almost done, as we want to go to the Lord in prayer. Verse 4, "But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope." That verse of Scripture is a response. It is a response to the knowledge that goes on in the previous verses. Verse 4 says that God forgives. Are you thankful for the forgiveness of God? God just continues to supply His forgiveness. If we sin, the Bible says He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's not talking about salvation moment. That's talking about living the Christian life. If we confess our sin, we still sin. We still need to ask God for cleansing. Psalm 50 says that the psalmist went before God and said, "Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me." That needs to be the prayer of the saint. And He is there to forgive. "That thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait." Why does He mention that twice? Notice it says soul secondly. What could be referred to at the first half? You know what's hard? It's our physical being waiting. Wait now. How many of you have ever taught a dog to sit and to be still while you have a treat in your hand? And how many of you have had your fingers gnawed off by a dog that when you almost said, "Wait, wait, 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 bring it down there," and all of a sudden, grab that thing out of you and half your fingers. Now, thank you for taking my fingers off, all right? Brian and Caroline's dog, Indy, sit very well. Stay, on the other hand, you know, taking the bone, trying to teach her. What I was trying to do was teach her how to, I could put it on her nose, all right? That's what people can do other than at the Brainerd house. I try to put the bone down on the, so the dog would just take it off of its nose and flip it and do that. That's what I was trying to do. I had Band-Aids on fingers from getting bit, trying to teach that dog. Finally, whenever Brian moved up the road, Indy went. I don't know what he's teaching, but I have my fingers now, and I'm going to try to keep it that way. But, you know, the physical aspect of waiting. Are you listening to me? How about young men and women before they get married? Waiting. Right? Waiting. Waiting to marriage, keeping pure till marriage, and then doing it God's way. Doesn't that involve waiting? Yes, it does. I will wait for the Lord. I believe the emphasis there is on the physical because that's the hardest part of waiting. It's the hardest part. It's easy to say, my soul waiteth for the Lord, but let's get down to the brass tacks. Physically, it's hard to wait on the Lord because we're people of action. We want stuff done like this. Nobody likes to sit and wait. We took our new cat down to be declawed. All right? We've got a common theme going on here, fingers, claws, animals and stuff like that. But we took the cat down to be declawed. We had to wait 3 days, and we got the call. Come pick up your cat, ready to be picked up. You have to keep the cat in a cage for several weeks until the paws are all healed. You know how hard that is with a cat that wants to be out all the time? I mean, it's a wrestling match. When we let him out for just a few minutes, we got to get that thing back in there, and it's fighting and whatever, trying to get the cat in there. Waiting physically. That cat wants to be out there with us. It is a personable cat. It wants to be near you. It wants to be by an adult. It doesn't want to be in a cage in the back room. The physical aspect of waiting is a spiritual thing. It's allowing the spirit, which communicates with God, to have control over the physical. And we live in a world which says, don't wait for anything, anyone. You just do what feels right. And that's the language of the damnation of hell. God wants us to learn to wait. In the waiting, what's happening? His mercy. Let's go on. We're almost done here. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch the morning, I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is what? Mercy. There it is. In the waiting. In the waiting for the Lord, there is mercy. He's supplying it while you're waiting on Him, supplying His mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is God withholding what you deserve. Grace is God giving you what you don't deserve. But mercy is God withholding His wrath, withholding His judgment, which you do deserve. That's the whole point of justification. What do you deserve? Hell for all eternity. God withholds that by His mercy because He supplied His Son in your place and He bore the hell for you. Mercy is that withholding of judgment and wrath that you deserve. He poured it out on His Son and He took your place. That's the point of mercy. It's God withholding from you what you deserve. And that's why I emphasized at the beginning of this that there are so many times, each and every day, that God is shielding you because of His mercy. I hope and pray that tonight we'll get a hold of this thought that I've got to be more considerate of God. I need to thank Him more. I know I do. I need to thank Him more, not only for what He does, but what He shields us from. He's supplying His mercy while we're waiting. While we're waiting, He's supplying His mercy. May God help us to see this wonderful truth in Psalm 130. Father, we thank You for this time in Your Word. I pray that You would instill in all of our hearts a consciousness of the fact that You're always at work. And You are all the time shielding us from bad things, from things we have no control over. And yet you, in your goodness and in your mercy, you're watching over, you're keeping back what we really deserve. But you shield us from that. Thank you, dear Father, for the mercy that you provide each and every day. And I pray that you'd awaken in our hearts a consciousness of that. And may we truly be thankful, and may we tell you so. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.